There's two elements in Dira Bataktena. We're all familiar with the concept that the ultimate purpose of creation is to make a dwelling place for God in the lowly realms. And he explains that there are two elements in this process. One is this is what's emphasized generally in Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, it speaks in terms of drawing down the infinite godly revelation that existed before the that was in existence before the process of creation, beginning from Tzimtzum, Harishon, before God retracted, so to speak, his infinite light in order to create a space for the existence of the worlds. God's infinite revelation was revealed, and in order to bring the worlds into existence, God initiated a process called Tzimtzum, which is a retraction of that light, creating a so-called empty space. And in that empty space was drawn down from the infinite light into the empty space was drawn a finite revelation, which progressively became more contracted and concealed until bringing into existence progressively lower worlds, until our world, which is a world of concealment, to the degree that evil flourishes and the wicked seem to be more powerful. So Kabbalah talks in terms of the process of drawing down God's infinite light. It talks about replacing, in other words, bringing down into the world the light that was there previously before the Tzimtzum.
Through what? Through our avoda?
Through our avoda of Terem Mitzvos. That's what's generally discussed in Kabbalah. In other words, that ultimately the world becomes a place where God's infinite revelation can be expressed and revealed. In a way that the world does not become nullified out of existence, but rather the world continues to exist but has been transformed into a suitable vessel for God's infinite light. That is the basic description in Kabbalah of what we accomplish with our Torah mitzvahs. Chassidus says, and it's actually mentioned in passing in Kabbalah, and Chassidus places a great emphasis on the fact that it's also mentioned the idea, we find the concept of, as we say, in some mishchais in davening, based on a pasuk, we say those who say Erchada shall tzion toyer, that there will be a new light. In other words, that there is an element in the process of Dira Batachtena which goes beyond drawing down the infinite light that was present previously, and rather actually drawing down a new light, a godly revelation, which is a new light, which is a godly revelation that's even higher than the infinite light that existed previously, up to and including the revelation of the fulfillment, the revelation of Atzmos, as expressed in the fulfillment of, by fulfilling the desire of Atzmas to have a Dirba Tachtayna. So by fulfilling that desire and by God experiencing, so to speak, that delight, the Tainug, in a Dirba Tachtayna, ultimately that too is revealed. So in essence, we have the revelation of Atzmas himself, which is higher than the revelation of infinite light, which existed previously.
So these are two separate things?
These are two, you can call it two separate things, or two stages, if you want. But these are two elements in the process of what we accomplish with our Torah Mitzvahs. One is that once again, the infinite light that was revealed everywhere should be revealed within our world in such a way that our world can still continue to exist and be a vessel to that light. And the next step in the process is the actual revelation of a higher light and ultimately the revelation of God himself as expressed in his Tainug in having a Dirba Tachtayna. That being the case, that ever extrapolates from that, that these two elements.
Right. Are you saying there's a revelation of the Tainug of Hashem in having the Dirba Tachtayna?
Yes. In fact, the Rebbe Kachs very much in the Maima of the Rebbe Marash. But the Rebbe Marash talks about that the ultimate revelation is the revelation that all the, when we talk about Gan Eden and Haba, Trias HaMeitzim, all of these things, we talk in terms of the delight, Tainug Nivra, the delight which will be experienced by the created beings through the revelations accomplished by their Avodah. So in Gan Eden, there's a tremendous delight experienced by those neshamas, a tremendous tainuk, but that's limited. That's only ziv teirasam avodas. That's only a ray, a spiritual revelation of what they accomplished with their teiramits. In Yemes HaMashiach and Tchias HaMeisim, and in the seventh millennium, will be even greater revelations of what we accomplished through our teiramits, and therefore greater experiences of Tainug on the part of those created beings that played a role in bringing about these revelations. However, he says that's not the ultimate revelation. The ultimate revelation is Tainug Beire. Tainug Beire is the revelation of the delight which God himself experiences in having his desire fulfilled. That is truly infinite. So all of the that is truly infinite. Because all of the other revelations are still, even though on a certain, to some degree we refer to them as infinite revelation, but there's still infinite revelation as tailored to what the created beings could experience. Obviously, they by expanding their capacities to infinity, but it's still not true infinity. True infinity is the Tainug Beire, the Tainug of the Eberstein himself, which the Rebbe equates with the revelation of Atzmus. So the Rebbe says, that being the case, so...
I've always seen that Shalom Bias has said, assuming this is true, if we're going to apply that to Adira, I mean, I don't know if this is appropriate, you know, but I've always seen that Shalom Bias and any kind of revelation of light is so, if I may, rare.
Revelation of?
Of the light and all the good stuff. I mean, Shalom Bias is a pretty rare...
We're supposed to model our homes after the ultimate...
So why don't we see if we're doing all these mitzvahs?
The ultimate Dira. We'll actually touch on that as soon as... Let me just finish the point. So the Rebbe says, based on this, it comes up to just two components. Two... Adira. One is that is a place where basic necessities of a person are met. In other words, a person has a roof over their head, they have food, they have shelter, they have a place to rest their heads. It's a place where people's basic necessities are taken care of. Then there's another element in a home, which is that it's a place of joy and delight. And obviously, there's a big difference between a home which only provides the basic necessities, or a home in which one actually is happy and enjoys and takes great pleasure in being there. The Rebbe says that this corresponds to two components in Avodas Hashem. One is the basic avoda of Torah and Mitzvahs. The other is beautifying, serving God with joy and with delight. In other words, not just the basic action, and then there are the additional components of Simcha and Tainug, which add to the beauty, so to speak, of the Dira, which in turn adds in the Tainug of the Eivishta in his Dira. So the Rebbe now says that, now draws the connection with what the Sikha started with, the special role of Jewish women and daughters. So in Sif Yudalad, the Rebbe says, Al Pi Analvet Ben Fashtein, the Shaykh is Derfun with Neshei of Neis Yisrael. Based on the aforementioned, we can understand the connection between this and Jewish daughters, women and daughters. Zet Bepoyel, in Adira Bepashtas. We see in actuality, in a literal dwelling. As the Iker Noivi Yefi, Adira Vahakelem, Hein Begashmius Vahein Beruchnius, is totally in their Isha Akeras Abayis. That the beauty of a home and its kelim, both materially and spiritually, is dependent on the woman, who is the mainstay of the home. Okay, do as an inyan for Noah, under care to Eiftan Noah, as is known that the inyan of beauty, and also, by extension, the capacity to achieve beauty, is dove miyuchet by an isha. As it says, Isha Noah, that one of the three things that we mentioned before, Isha Noah, Dira Noah, Kalim Noah, expand the person's mind, bring expansiveness to a person. And we said, Kivayachal, so to Lamaila, Lagabi, the Eivishta, that it brings expansiveness to the Eivishta because it brings out the Tainuk that the Eivishta has in his creation. If you look at footnote 96, Alpiza Tumtik HaShaychus B'brachas Shom, Isha Noah V'Dira Noah V'Kelim Noah. Why does it say these three things? What's the connection between a beautiful wife, a beautiful dwelling, and beautiful furnishings? HaShleish HaNyonim Shem Archiv and Daita Shal Adam Ki Alide Isha Shem Yonim Noah Nasim Gam Dira Noah V'Kelim Noah. The beauty of a woman, obviously we're not talking only physical beauty, we're talking about spiritual beauty as well. So it's through her that the home becomes a beautiful place and the furnishings become beautiful furnishings.
And you assume the opposite from this also?
I'm sorry, what?
You assume the opposite from this also?
The opposite?
Yeah, if it's ugly and filled with, you know, that it's predominantly Karis Abayis.
I guess that is probably true. Sometimes,
I'm not talking about all of those, but as a generality, you think that's you can move from this to that?
Well, it's an obvious inference, but sometimes a woman has to be. Sometimes the man also can facilitate a woman's expressing her true inner beauty and therefore beautifying the home. So there is a certain interdependency here where the man also does have a role to play.
So both in the positive and negative, the man has a role to play, but the main role is the woman.
Absolutely.
I love it.
But obviously we say primarily the woman's role is the primary role in this sense. We also find the expression Kala Noah V'Chasuda, that the way one praises a bride is by praising Kala Noah V'Chasuda, Biz as Ein Isha El Yefi. the point that the Gemara says that a woman does not exist except for beauty, which obviously we understand that Chazal are trying to tell us that we're talking about Yefi Beruchnias, we're talking about spiritual beauty.
Only?
Which physical beauty from that devolves physical beauty as well. Hello. I am sitting in front of a tape recorder in a shir. Whenever we're done. We actually made copies and brought the copies. Tapes. In other words, so because we know that when Chazal used the term with using the words Ein and Ella, which means saying that something does not exist except for a specific purpose, so as the Rebbe brings in many cases, that means it's a way of saying that exclusively for that purpose. So obviously the Gemara is not talking about physical beauty, but primarily spiritual beauty. And the fact is that when we talk about spiritual beauty, the fact is that you see, one of the differences that you see by women spiritually than you see by men is that men are more often than not, I mean, their strength is in a certain degree their weakness. Strength which a man has is primarily in the area of das, as opposed to women. But one of the shortcomings of having a strong faculty of das is that one becomes very focused, which is an advantage, but it could also have a negative implication, which is tunnel vision. That a person becomes focused to the point that their vision becomes narrowed and they don't see the larger picture and the larger scheme of things. Bina, on the other hand, which is a woman's strong point, Bina Yisera, that a woman has. Bina is the capacity to see how many different details fit together and form a larger picture. So beauty, the way Chassidus defines beauty, beauty generally comes from, is only comes from when you have one individual color or one individual thing that does not create beauty. Beauty is generally a mix of a number of colors, a panorama. It creates a sense of beauty. So that is why spiritually that women, whereas men will focus more on the practical implication of whatever information they process, women will focus more and appreciate more the beauty of how a number of different ideas, concepts come together to form a whole picture.
Isn't that how Achashverosh trapped the Jews to go to the party? The women couldn't resist going to see the interior decorating.
They couldn't resist?
The interior decorating. I mean decorating. Isn't that men couldn't stay behind because once the women wanted to go see the couches and stuff, that was the end of the discussion.
I never got that from the story. I mean, that's
Nemlois seems to be
right. That's a novel interpretation. But in fact, if anything, the pasuk seems to indicate that the main event was the men's feast, and the women's feast seemed to have been nothing more than a sideshow. But like I said, what I don't know, I can't. but if you say for sure, you know.
I'll have to check. You know, I think, you know, then, it's hard. Last year, I seem to forgot, but I remember that's how it comes down.
Hard for me.
That the ladies could not resist going to see the interior decorating, and that and because they insisted on going, so the men got trapped. Because if the women would say they wouldn't go, the men wouldn't go, be okay. But if the women went, then how's it? They're not going to go to the king's party. With only the ladies are going to go. Oh yeah, right.
This is based on a chazal, or this
again,
is your own?
No. I'm saying Memlo is based on, but he brings down sources for it. So
yeah, on
Memlo.
Okay,
but he brings down sources for his joke. This stuff
often has novel interpretation.
Well, certainly not Western European, especially with respect to women.
Anyway. So when Chazal said "Ein Isha El Yaifi," so it's obviously understood that the message that Chazal are trying to convey is a spiritual one. And but again, this does have implications and ramifications in the realm of the physical and material as well. That from spiritual beauty grows out and develops physical beauty as well.
I just want to ask this question one more time to make sure I have it clear. Can I infer the negative from this also? In other words, if it lacks color and depth and texture and beauty, then it's predominantly, although certainly we are precipitating factors and all kinds of things, you know, but in general we're talking about that it's both the plus and the minus. And if it ever says to the plus, we can infer that the minus means that it's predominantly also lacking from
We, you know, anybody who's involved in the Rebbe's work recognizes the fact. I mean, and the Rebbe has taught us that that the shlichus is the equivalent, is the spiritual equivalent to diamond polishing, which is to be able to see the inner beauty, which doesn't always find expression, and to help people find the proper expression for that inner beauty. So the fact, if there is a situation in which a woman has not accessed that inner beauty, which is innate, so obviously the sad result will be that she will not be beautiful either spiritually or...
So I can infer the negative?
Yes.
Good. Last time I asked. Thank you.
Yes, Leima. As das wird der Stahlschild davon, was als so ist, dass ich in der Avede von Machen Adira betachte. We could say that what devolves from this is also that in the Avede of making Adira betachte, as in the Shei of Bnei Yisrael is Tali Achelik Ikri von der Avede, zu machen as die Dira soll sein Adira Noe mit Kehle Noe. It was clearly in the process of Dira Vatachtena, of Terah Mitzvahs, of actually learning Terah and doing Mitzvahs, the primary weight of that obligation falls upon the man. The man has a greater obligation in the area of learning Terah and of doing Mitzvahs. However, in the aspect of Dira Vatachtena, which is to create that the Dira should be a beautiful one, a Dira Noe and Kalim Noe, that falls... In that, Jewish women play a primary role in that avodah. The unterstrachen beim Yochid in the drei ikristige mitzvahs shaleihan nishan kol beis Yisrael, as emphasized in particular in the three primary mitzvahs on which the entire Jewish home is dependent on. One is hadlakas neir Shabbos kedush v'yamtiv, the lighting of Shabbos and Yom Tov candles, kashrus achilus siyah, kosher food to eat and drink, and tairas hamashpacha, and family purity, which is Rosh Hateves hachein, as brought by the Megala Amukis, which hachein alludes to chein v'yefi v'noi, to grace and beauty. V'sti mitzvahs tun eif, as Zolzai Nesav Efadir Lo Yisbarach Patachtena Bechlal, which these mitzvahs accomplished, and in addition to the fact that the Eivisha should have a dwelling place in the lowly realms in general, but that it should be a Dira Noe und Kelem Noem, it should be a beautiful dwelling with beautiful furnishings, Duchkinome mit Tishenkeit, permeated with the beauty, geistige und gashmius, both spiritual and physical, from kashrus, tahira, and kedusha. The Rebbe says in footnote 101, kemavua b'sfarim, shal yidei kashrus achilu shsia, nasa shini b'mahus v'teva, ha'adam ha'eichel v'sheisim ha'cholus v'mashkoiz eilum, mikivon shenasim damu basu k'psare. The true kashrus of achilu shsia accomplishes a change in the very essence and the very nature of the person who is eating and drinking these foods and drinks, because they become part of his flesh and blood. Well, achas, as from the Ramban, brought in the Bechaya and other swar. Well, achas kama v'kama shekenu b'negei l'tayres ha-mishpacha. How much more so that this applies to tayres ha-mishpacha. Shebezot tluya ha-tahayra v'hanoi b'chaya ha-mishpacha. V'tich brius b'gashmius v'ruchnius. K'yodua mavua b'kama m'kema. That on this mitzvah is dependent the tahira, the purity, and the beauty in family life, in from health, both material and spiritual, as is known and explained in a number of places. And so too, as it pertains to the lighting of Shabbos and Yom Tov candles, that it brings into the dwelling and into all the people in the home, erve kedusha, light and holiness, shall ner mitzvah v'teira er, as we shall see inside. And similarly in the area of educating sons and daughters, was doshtelt avek the miseir achayim fun yedin mentioned, which this is what establishes the foundation of the life of every individual. Zetun b'peil azeir chinuch is abhängig von der Mutter. We see in actuality that their education, their early training is dependent on the mother. V'frat der chinuch v'adrocha von junge kinder, and especially the education and direction of young children, v'as yinge als meres das toli in der Mutter. And the younger they are, the more it is dependent on the mother. Sie gitten sie arein von gar jung an, die chayos und ruach von Yiddishkeit. It is the mother that puts into them from very young ages the enthusiasm and the spirit of Yiddishkeit. Was all yisoid ze wachsen eis bonum u bonis, eisken betero mitzvisao. Which is on this foundation that grows sons and daughters that are involved in Torah mitzvahs, b'shleimus, in a complete manner, b'ruchnius u'b'gashmius, both spiritually and materially, b'ayfen no'e v'yofa, in a beautiful manner. Das heißt, as neisef eftem was die Kinder sollen sein, eski Torah mitzvahs al derech haragu, which means, in addition to the fact that the children should be ordinary performers of Torah mitzvahs, that they should conduct themselves in the accepted fashion. Gitten ze arein die Mutter dem Geschmack und Warmkeit. The mother invests into them the enjoyment and warmth. Mit der Edelkeit und Liebschaft, was ist dobem juchtet in der Natur von der Shev Nes Yisrael. By means of the Edelkeit and the love, which is particular to the nature of Jewish women and daughters, as their eisik b'teira mitzvah zol zayn b'eifin noa v'teiv, that their involvement in teira mitzvah should be in a beautiful and pleasing manner, as theirs mekan eifim anweisen und sorgen zeh keili v'anveil, to the point that one should be able to point to such a child and say, zeh keili v'anveil, that this is the type of service which beautifies and glorifies the Eibishter's name. Kenira l'dugma, as can be seen, for example, in the minik type von idusha mutter, zu singen zu zere gar kleine kinderlach, noch ligendik in vigula, to sing to their very young children, even while they're still in the crib, As Teira is the best Zach, the Zista Zach, the Shanst Zach, Machu. Songs which convey that Teira is the best thing, the sweetest thing, the most beautiful thing. As das wurzelt ein in dem Kind, this plants roots into the child. Eche ven evaxto is skamke yaskin le yosviman. That carry on even when he grows up, as the pasuk says that even when he gets older, he will not stray from it. Atifa liebshaft und teirkeit zu allen jungen teiremitzes, a deep love and appreciation for all matters of teiremitzes. That is the mother's role, as the Rebbe describes. And it's very important that husbands, men, should encourage, not try to bully, but rather to encourage their wives to be able to play this role. And sometimes in order to do that, you have to take off some of the pressures that can distract them from this type of role. Very often pressures of, in my opinion, that one of the biggest disasters, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, factor in what's happening with our youth today is the fact that women are either working out of the home, and therefore, and when they do come home, they are tired and exhausted, and are focused mainly on just finishing up their basic responsibilities of getting supper on the table and the kids into bed. Or women are in the home, but not invested into their children. They're encouraged to send their children out at exceedingly young ages and to find other diversions to entertain themselves while their children are away. And what happens is this creates a tremendous distance, which is obvious even from the youngest ages and becomes more and more pronounced as the years go on. And therefore, the women are not fulfilling their primary role, which is many, unfortunately, are not fulfilling the primary role of creating developing warmth and enthusiasm and excitement for matters of Torah mitzvahs. Many find themselves exhausted and short-tempered, and even when they actually do practice different things with their children, they will very often resort to, instead of utilizing the edelkeit and the liebshaft, which is intrinsic to their nature, they will often use bullying tactics like screaming and patching, and because they are exhausted and therefore short-tempered and impatient and just want to get the kids out of the way.
Does that relate to a lack of money in the house?
Father's
not bringing enough money, so the mother says she has to go. So either she got the tension of not having enough food, or she's got the tension of having to go to work. So how do you come down on that?
So
he needs the father's obligation to make sure that he makes enough money so that the mother doesn't have to do that.
But in other words, the obligation is really, in many ways, to set the tone. By setting the tone means setting what are the priorities. Although I, as now, have a relatively small family, I have one child, but I do know what it's like to go through, experience financial difficulties, and extreme financial difficulty. Although, extreme is different for everyone. But the fact is that if you set your priorities, if the priorities are the spiritual life of the children, when people set their priorities, ultimately the Eivish the helps, and you're able to realize those priorities. Nobody ever, God never took anybody's life because they put spiritual priorities before material priorities.
But kids do get kicked out of yeshiva if you don't pay tuition.
Again, I'm just telling you.
I'm just telling you.
I want to tell you one thing.
If you get kicked out of yeshiva, that puts another torch on people's heads.
I'll tell you a little secret about the yeshiva world. That if you send them the kind of kids, and again, I speak from a little bit of experience, that if you send them the kind of kid that's going to reflect positively on the yeshiva, then they're very accommodating.
To a point, that's true.
So if you put the investment in the kid instead of in the tuition, like I said, listen, the Eivishta helps. If the Eivishta doesn't help, then we're in the wrong religion anyway. You know what I mean? If we can't rely on the Eivishta, then we're practicing, then we got the wrong religion. But the fact is that the way you have to do it is you have to set priorities. When you set priorities, and you work accordingly, I mean, you have to make the kalim to whatever extent you can. When you set the right priorities and you put in your status to make the kalim, God does not shaft the loyal. It's just, again, this is a belief that I hold dear. And
did you ever try it on Brooklyn Union Gas?
I've dealt with all of these wonderful people in the past, believe me. I know what it's like to some degree. But again, a lot of it has to do with priority setting. I just recently had a discussion with a fellow that is involved in a relatively new business, and he can't understand b'derech hateva how he's not making more money. In other words, it's such a great business that he can't, it makes no sense to him how at the end of the month only X amount of dollars come in. It just doesn't compute, really. Based on the kalim he has, it makes no sense the amount of money that comes in at the end of the month. And because of that, he took on even another business. And now he's got two businesses. And he's still not coming out with much more than he had before, and he can't figure it out. So I'm sitting down and I say, listen, what do you have with a minion? When do you say chitas? Do you say chitas? When do you say chitas? Did you ever think of adding a shear? Instead of adding a business, adding a shear, giving a little more tzedaka. In other words, what happens is that we get what? What happens is that we get so caught up in the process of trying to bring home that dollar that we forget that our obligation for Parnassah is part of a larger scheme which includes many, many different obligations. And within the scheme of obligations, there are certain things that have to take priority. And if we put chinuch as the priority, when we put chinuch as the priority, then, again, you know, the Eivishta helps. And one way or another, as many people do, we can also be amongst those people who have the opportunities to be able to invest in the chinuch of our children the way we would like to. We have to establish our priorities, and God cooperates. When we do it, when we play by the book, and we do it His way, He does cooperate. Although sometimes He pulls the string a little tight, just to see what level of depth your commitment to your priorities are, and how fast you'll jump ship. But if after he stretches the rope, you still manage to hang on, and he shakes it a little, and he does a few of his other tricks, and you still manage to hang on, ultimately he comes around and works with you and it provides the means necessary in order to be able to live out your ideals, even, like I said, even if sometimes to get to the ideal situation, you have to, you know, you have to cross a couple of minefields, but ultimately God will see you through.
To what extent do you, in your experience, negated this issue, you find that problems in Shalom Bayis and beautiful house and all that kind of stuff are related to money problems?
Are related to parnasa?
Money, lack of money. Not money, but money, lack of money. What percentage would you guess?
A huge percent.
More or less than 50%.
What?
More or less than 50%.
More than 50%.
More or less than 75%.
That's hard to say.
So in that range.
But definitely more than 50%. And again, there are a number of reasons and a number of factors involved. One of them is, as I alluded to earlier, the fact that men become very single-minded when they're confronted with a problem. And when they become very single-minded over a particular problem, they develop tunnel vision, and what happens is when they start feeling inadequate in the Parnassa area, they start showing signs of inadequacy in many other areas. So instead of investing themselves more, what happens is if you see that you not miss the Parnassa, so one of the ideas is to at least invest yourself more into the things which are important to you, like your family, which in the old days of early America, that was the traditional model, that the rich people were estranged from their families, and the poor people had very close, tight-knit families, because even though they worked long and difficult hours, many poor people had close, loving, tight-knit families, because if they didn't do much to bring home the bacon, but at least they can invest a lot of love and good feeling into their relationships, and therefore they made family the priority. And Parnassa, although again it was sometimes even overwhelming, but it still could not, since their priority focus was the family, so Parnassa could not really derail their focus. Unfortunately, we see that with prosperity, the reverse happens, that very often with prosperity, families have become less close and less tight-knit. And so both for those who have the prosperity and for those who used to have the prosperity and lost it, or for those who never had it but aspire to it, the very fact that the environment is a prosperous one, so the focus of most people in today's environment has become towards either focusing on the money or lack of it, or on career satisfaction or lack of it, or on other things which are outside of the inner nucleus of the home.
They have a survival, though. I think most of us who have big families
survives.
Are really facing survival.
Everybody survives.
No, well, and seven kids, the tuition for seven kids here is roughly, what is it? 15, 18, 20 grand?
I'm going to tell you something.
So that's $400 a week before you put food and anything else on the table, or they do boot your kids up.
I'm going to tell you something. My father went through a period where his health was not in
what,
the best of shape.
We're talking about 30 years ago, 20 years ago, what's his time span?
Where his health was, we're talking 20 years ago.
Okay.
And everyone complained then about how the tuition guys are crushing, you know, nasty and tough and rough. And my father, like, once went into one place, and he told the guy, he said,